Unit 8. Part 1. Language Skills Development. 1. Starter. B. Listen to a short passage and answer the following questions according to what you've heard.
Insurance is a form of risk management primarily used to hedge against the risk of a contingent loss. Insurance is defined as the fair and reasonable transfer of the risk of a loss from one entity to another in exchange for a premium, and can be thought of as a guaranteed small loss to prevent a large, possibly devastating loss. It can be divided into general insurance and life insurance. General insurance, including automobile and homeowners policies, provides payments depending on the loss from a particular financial event. General insurance typically comprises any insurance that is not determined to be life insurance. Life insurance is a contract between the policy owner and the insurer, where the insurer agrees to pay a sum of money upon the occurrence of the insured individual's or individual's death or other event, such as terminal illness or critical illness. In return, the policy owner agrees to pay a stipulated amount, called a premium, at regular intervals or in lump sums. 2. Text. The danger of lying in bed.
The man in the ticket office said, "Have an accident insurance ticket also?" "No," I said, after studying the matter over a little. "No, I believe not. I am going to be traveling by rail all day today. However, tomorrow I don't travel. Give me one for tomorrow." The man looked puzzled. He said, "But it is for accident insurance, and if you are going to travel by rail..." "If I am going to travel by rail, I shouldn't need it. Lying at home in bed is the thing I am afraid of." I had been looking into this matter. Last year I traveled 20,000 miles, almost entirely by rail. The year before I traveled over 25,000 miles, half by sea and half by rail. And the year before that I traveled in the neighborhood of 10,000 miles, exclusively by rail. I suppose if I put in all the little odd journeys here and there, I may say I have traveled 60,000 miles during the 3 years I have mentioned, and never an accident. For a good while I said to myself every morning, "Now I have escaped thus far, and so the chances are just that much increased that I shall catch it this time. I will be shrewd, and buy an accident ticket." And to a dead moral certainty I drew a blank, and went to bed that night without a joint started or a bone splintered. I got tired of that sort of daily bother, and fell to buying accident tickets that were good for a month. I said to myself, "A man can't buy 30 blanks in one bundle." But I was mistaken. There was never a prize in the lot. I could read of railway accidents every day. The newspaper atmosphere was foggy with them. But somehow they never came my way. I found I had spent a good deal of money in the accident business, and had nothing to show for it. My suspicions were aroused, and I began to hunt around for somebody that had won in this lottery. I found plenty of people who had invested, but not an individual that had ever had an accident or made a cent. I stopped buying accident tickets and went to ciphering. The result was astounding. The peril lay not in traveling, but in staying at home. I hunted up statistics, and was amazed to find that after all the glaring newspaper headlines concerning railroad disasters, less than 300 people had really lost their lives by those disasters in the preceding 12 months. The Erie Road was set down as the most murderous in the list. It had killed 46 or 26, I do not exactly remember which, but I know the number was double that of any other road. But the fact straightway suggested itself that the Erie was an immensely long road, and did more business than any other line in the country. So the double number of the killed ceased to be matter for surprise. By further figuring, it appeared that between New York and Rochester, the Erie ran 8 passenger trains each way every day, 16 altogether, and carried a daily average of 6,000 persons. That is about 1 million in 6 months, the population of New York City. Well, the Erie kills from 13 to 23 persons of its 1 million in 6 months, and in the same time, 13,000 of New York's 1 million die in their beds. My flesh crept, my hair stood on end. "This is appalling," I said. "The danger isn't in traveling by rail, but in trusting to those deadly beds. I will never sleep in a bed again." I had figured on considerably less than one half the length of the Erie Road. It was plain that the entire road must transport at least 11,000 or 12,000 people every day. There are many short roads running out of Boston that do fully half as much, a great many such roads. There are many roads scattered about the Union that do a prodigious passenger business. Therefore, it was fair to presume that an average of 2,500 passengers a day for each road in the country would be almost correct. There are 846 railway lines in our country, and 846 times 2,500 is 2,115,000. So the railways of America move more than 2 million people every day, 650 million people a year, without counting the Sundays. They do that too. There is no question about it, though where they get the raw material is clear beyond the jurisdiction of my arithmetic, for I have hunted the census through and through, and I find that there are not that many people in the United States, by a matter of 610 million at the very least. They must use some of the same people over again, likely. San Francisco is 1/8 as populous as New York. There are 60 deaths a week in the former, and 500 a week in the latter, if they have luck. That is 3,120 deaths a year in San Francisco, and 8 times as many in New York, say about 25,000 or 26,000. The health of the two places is the same. So we will let it stand as a fair presumption that this will hold good all over the country, and that consequently 25,000 out of every 1 million of people we have must die every year. That amounts to 1/40 of our total population. 1 million of us, then, die annually. Out of this 1 million, 10,000 or 12,000 are stabbed, shot, drowned, hanged, poisoned, or meet a similarly violent death in some other popular way, such as perishing by kerosene lamp and hoopskirt conflagrations, getting buried in coal mines, falling off housetops, breaking through church or lecture room floors, taking patent medicines, or committing suicide in other forms. The Erie Railroad kills 23 to 46. The other 845 railroads kill an average of 1/3 of a man each. And the rest of that 1 million, amounting in the aggregate to that appalling figure of 987,631 corpses, die naturally in their beds. You will excuse me from taking any more chances on those beds. The railroads are good enough for me. And my advice to all people is, don't stay at home any more than you can help. But when you have got to stay at home a while, buy a package of those insurance tickets and sit up nights. You cannot be too cautious. The moral of this composition is that thoughtless people grumble more than is fair about railroad management in the United States. When we consider that every day and night of the year, full 14,000 railway trains of various kinds, freighted with life and armed with death, go thundering over the land, the marvel is not that they kill 300 human beings in a 12-month, but that they do not kill 300 times 300.
New words.
Shrewd.
Splinter.
Bundle.
Foggy.
Suspicion.
Arouse.
Invest.
Cipher.
Peril.
Headline.
Disaster.
Proceeding.
Murderous.
Straightway.
immensely.
Cease.
Creep.
Appalling.
Prodigious.
Presume.
Raw.
Arithmetic.
Census.
Populous.
Presumption.
Annually.
Stab.
Poison.
Perish.
Kerosene.
Hoopskirt.
Conflagration.
Aggregate. Aggregate.
Corpse.
Cautious.
Grumble.
Marvel.
Proper nouns.
The Erie.
Rochester.
San Francisco.
Part 2. Language and Use. 1. Dialogue. Purchasing Insurance. The following conversation is between an insurance agent and Mrs. Simpson, a potential customer. The agent emphasizes the necessity of an insurance plan and talks Mrs. Simpson into buying insurance. Listen to the dialogue and fill in the blanks with the words or phrases you have heard. Then read it aloud.
Mrs. Simpson, have you planned for your retirement?
Are you joking? I'm still young, and retirement seems so far away.
As one serves long enough in a company and gains more experience, his or her income increases. However, at the retiring age of 60, income usually drops, or there might be no income at all if one doesn't work. Retirement doesn't mean the end of living. On the contrary, it is the golden time to enjoy life, like traveling and engaging in hobbies. This plan can enable you to have a retirement fund in the future.
My company has offered me a pension scheme.
Even if you participate in a pension scheme, it would be better to have another scheme of your own, no matter who you work for and where you are in the future.
That sounds reasonable. What does the plan cover?
The plan basically serves the following purposes: family protection, education fund, personal savings, emergency cash, and retirement fund. Is there a particular area that concerns you most?
I'm interested in family protection. As my two sons are living far away in Hawaii, my husband and I need solid financial protection after our retirement.
For family protection, you can start your coverage at $100,000. Then, every other year for the next 10 years, you will have the opportunity to increase your coverage in increments of $50,000 to a maximum of $500,000.
Do I need to fill in the policy now if I want to take this plan?
Yes, but first, Mrs. Simpson, I need some basic information about you. When were you born? Do you smoke? How much money do you intend to put aside each month or year? And fill in this form, please, so that I can take it into further consideration when I design a proposal for you, which usually takes 2 days. Shall I meet you again Wednesday afternoon at 2:00?
New words.
Retirement.
Contrary.
Coverage.
Increment.
Proposal.
Proper noun.
Simpson.
2. Pair work. Talking about health insurance. Reference answer.
Hello, Mrs. Kim. How can I help you today?
My husband urged me to ask for your advice about health insurance, but I'm afraid I will be wasting your time. Actually, I don't want to buy it at all.
Don't worry, Mrs. Kim. There's no obligation to buy. Maybe you can just learn something about it.
All right. I have no idea what health insurance is all about.
Health insurance is merely a means by which people pool money to guard against the sudden economic consequences of sickness or injury.
But both my husband and I have some kind of insurance provided by our company.
Although most companies offer their employees various welfare programs, they seldom pay all the employees' bills in hospital. And I'm sure you know that medical care has been very expensive lately. That's why I suggest that you also purchase health insurance, in case your company doesn't cover all your bills for disease or injury.
That sounds like a good idea.
In fact, our insurance pays all bills from the hospital concerning our client's disease and injuries.
Really? That's amazing. If that's the case, I guess I can't complain about the money we will have to pay for health insurance. But...
Yes, Mrs. Kim?
Look, health insurance costs have increased again. What is the insurance premium if both of us buy the health insurance?
It depends, Mrs. Kim. Shall we just sit down and have a good look at your case?
That sounds good.
3. Text. Life insurance process flow.
The simplest life insurance business cycle looks like this. The client approaches the insurer through an agent with the proposal containing his personal details, income details, medical history, products. The product describes the features provided by the insurer, like maturity bonus, claims allowed, etc. These features vary from product to product. Sum assured, the amount for which the client is covered. Term, number of years for which the client is to be covered, and premium amount, installment amount to be paid by the client to the insurer. The agent who brings this proposal is termed the base servicing agent for the proposal. The proposal will go through various stages of approval and risk evaluation by the insurance company's central processing center. Upon final approval, a legal agreement, termed a policy, between the insurer and the client is prepared, whereby the insurer covers the client for the sum assured. The client is also entitled to some additional benefits, if any, depending on the features of the product taken in the policy. The base agent gets a commission for the policy. The client pays a premium at regular intervals. These subsequent premiums are termed renewal premiums. The base agent gets a commission on the renewal premium also. The client may come back with some alterations to the policy, viz. Increase, decrease in sum assured, increase, decrease of the term of the policy, etc. The insurer will make the relevant changes to the policy and will issue endorsements stating the alterations made and their effect on the policy. During the term of the policy, the client can submit claims. The insurer makes payment against the claim after verification. Depending on the type of claim, the policy is either terminated or is kept in force. At the end of the term of the policy, the client gets the sum assured as part of the maturity benefit under life insurance policies. In addition to this, the client will get the maturity bonus and any other benefits, depending on the product's features.
New words.
Insurer.
Installment.
Additional.
Decrease. Decrease.
Endorsement.
Submit.
Verification.